Wake up, everyone. It's time for the Steve Noble Show, where biblical Christianity meets the everyday issues of life in your home, at work, and even in politics. Steve is an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and on his show, there's plenty of grace and lots of truth, but no sacred cows. Call Steve now at 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Or check him out online at thestevenobleshow.com. And now, here's your host, Steve Noble.
Get the heck out of my restaurant, you scumbag. No shoes, no shirt. No political ideology that I disagree with, so get out. And to tell you the truth,
I don't know that I actually have a huge problem with that. That's back in the day. No shoe, no shirt, no service. Remember those days? If you're old enough, you might remember that. Of course, that's in the news now. And Red Hen, God help you if you have a restaurant named Red Hen and you're not that Red Hen, because they've been getting pretty hammered. But I actually think I'm a free market guy. Welcome to the show. This is Steve Noble. And I'm definitely a free market guy. So if you want to go out there and throw somebody out of your restaurant because you don't like their political ideology, whatever you want to call it. That was pretty funny. Then go ahead. But then don't complain when some portion of the public turns around and reacts, and the next thing you know, you're running out of business. So I actually don't have a major problem with that. But Maxine Waters, is she taking it to a whole nother level? So you got that whole thing going on with Maxine Waters telling people, I want to tell you, these members of his cabinet who remain and try to defend him, they won't be able to go to a restaurant. They won't be able to stop at a gas station. They're not going to be able to shop at a department store. Which starts to sound a little bit like a Jim Crow kind of environment to me. But what do you do with that? This is the divided states of America that we're living in now. And I don't think it's good. Dr. Michael Brown, who's a friend of mine, radio host, a Messianic Jew, wrote a very good article on that I'm going to work through today. Because he brought up some salient points as a Christian and as an American who would like to see some level of civility. He was talking about that and kind of referenced, how did we react as pro-life conservative Americans as Barack Obama's presidency unfolded and his activities and his statements on abortion and things like that? How did we react? And then as Maxine Waters, which is following up on the Red Hen thing, is that good for the country? Should we go there? Which also made me think of, and I posted this on Facebook earlier today, and I'm getting hammered for it, on my own radio page, which is normal. Anytime I do anything, pretty much any anti-Trump stuff, any anti-Trump comments, anti-Trump stories that I put on my Facebook page, if you want to join there and join us, we're Facebook Live, so you can join us in the studio on live video, then I tend to get a lot of blowback. And people on my own, I mean, people that made a decision to like this Christian, evangelical, born-again, who happens to be a conservative, Facebook page, then turn around and assume I'm a liberal because I say something negative about Donald Trump. I'm like, have you read? Do you read this any ever? Do you pay any attention to what I have to say? Have you ever listened to the radio show? What, you're actually calling me a dumb liberal? What? A mile wide and an inch deep. That's what most of America is these days. So then the Jim Acosta thing. Okay, so he's at a Trump rally, and there's this lady who I think was rather obnoxious. And does she have a freedom of speech right to be obnoxious? You bet your bottom dollar she does. She can bark at Jim Acosta all day long. She can yell at him, call him names. That, knock yourself out, lady. But she's trying to throw him out of an event as a member of the press, and I can put air quotes around the press, as a member of the press, because she hates him. He's a member of the fake news, CNN, so throw him out of there. You know, at the last, Trump had a big rally last week. Was it in Minnesota? Where was that? I can't. But anyway, they start chanting, CNN sucks, CNN sucks, right? And so we got a president of the United States who really is a participant. That was in Minnesota, right? So really a participant in this kind of schoolyard, fourth grade, fifth grade, back and forth, calling names. I mean, Donald, whether you love him or hate him, I think that's just the reality. He tends to be a bit of a bully. He uses the bully pulpit, his tweets and personal attacks, yada, yada, yada. That's one of the things that I don't like about this president at all. And I know that in the crazy world that we live in right now, it can be particularly effective. I get that. I see that. But I'm like, listen, that you can't be a part of the system and then turn around and complain about it, right? That makes you duplicitous. So when Jim Acosta is being barked at by this lady, and I responded to that on Facebook earlier today. So she's barking and trying to get out, get out, get out. We hate you, blah, 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 blah. Get out. Jim Acosta on his Instagram account said, as I explained to this lady at the Trump rally in West Columbia, I was not going to leave. I'm going to do my job. She didn't shake my hand or give me a chance to talk to her, but so many others at the rally did. I'm glad, you know, that was that. I thought that was respectable that Jim Acosta included that. As a reporter next to me said, I think you won half of them over. It's a start. So that was Acosta saying that. This lady's blasting away with her little sign, standing literally right in front of him and wanting to throw him out. And my point on Facebook and my point to you right now is the same. I'm like, listen, and I don't usually call people names, but in this case, I did. Here's exactly what I said, okay, in case you missed it. Bottom line, this lady is an idiot. Now, me being an evangelical that happens to live in the South, I should have said in parentheses at the very least, bless her heart, or God bless her, to try to take the edge off the fact that I was calling her name, but I'm just being honest and telling you. This is what I thought. This lady is an idiot, and so are the people that joined in to try to kick CNN reporter Jim Acosta out of the Trump rally. Does she not have a grasp on the fundamentals of this nation with regards to free speech? The minute we start shutting down the voices we don't want to hear is the minute we start to spit on the graves of our founding fathers and the Constitution itself. Now, if you happen to agree with what this lady tried to do, you need a refresher course in freedom of speech and the freedom of the press as well. And I said, I don't like Jim Acosta, but that's not grounds for denying him his constitutional rights. Hashtag, because that's what we do these days, frustrating. Hashtag dangerous. Hashtag, I just had to throw this one in. Maxine is wrong, too. So, by the way, if you could you pass a civics course? A civics quiz. And the numbers show that most Americans are massively ignorant on that one. And so thanks to my intern today, Callan, who's reminding me of this on Foundations of Freedom, which we finally just made available online. So if you, and that's not a big if, that's a pretty small if. I'm just telling it like it is because that's who I am. You probably need a refresher course or a first time good course in civics and Constitution. Odds are pretty good that you need that. Odds are incredibly good that everybody you know under the age of 30 desperately needs it. And the next generation that will be in power, people that are in high school and college right now, desperately need it, which is why I've been personally teaching it here in North Carolina for the last 6 years. And then we recorded, it's 18 chapters, right out of a two-semester course that I've been teaching, 18 chapters. Starting in the 1600s of how did this country come to be? What was the worldview? What kind of form of government do we have? How's it supposed to work versus how it is working? It's called Foundations of Freedom. You can get it online now. And it's an excellent thing that not just young people need. I think everybody in America needs to be properly taught civics and Constitution. Just go to thestevenobleshow.com. You'll find it there in the store. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show. It's good for all of us to remember that, is it not? Jesus is Lord, not Donald Trump, not Maxine Waters, not even Ben Shapiro, nobody in Hollywood, nobody on the East Coast or the West Coast. Just Jesus is Lord. Thank you, Father in Heaven, for that reality. That gets me through the wild times that we're living through. Welcome back. Anyway, this is the Steve Noble Show. You want to join us in studio, you can do that. Well, kind of. Just go to Facebook, facebook.com, and then the Steve Noble Show. Just put that in the search box, and you'll jump over there, like the page, and then just press the little play button. You'll be with us right here in the studio via Facebook Live. I want to talk about these two massive Supreme Court decisions today. Very, very big decisions, which I just sounded like the president a little bit. Very, very big. Very, very. Anyway, here's the first one. This was a big win for the pro-life movement. I was very, very happy to see this. The Supreme Court hands a win to the pro-life movement. Conservative justices decide in favor of crisis pregnancy centers. In a case really out of California, this is from the Atlantic.com. The Supreme Court handed a big win to the pro-life movement on Tuesday in a 5-4 decision in NIFLA, which is a crisis pregnancy group centers out in California, versus Becerra. The justices ruled that California can't force crisis pregnancy centers to post signs about state-sponsored abortion services, regardless of whether those facilities are licensed medical providers or not. So let me just tell you that in plain language. Here's what they said in California. If you run a crisis pregnancy center, you stupid scumbag Christians, then you must put signs in your crisis pregnancy center, which is trying to be Christ-honoring, right, and life-affirming. You have to put signs in your crisis pregnancy center that points people to killing babies as an option. That was the California law passed in 2015. That's what the Supreme Court was dealing with. The law at stake in this case is the 2015 California FACT Act, which was passed after legislators and activists became concerned about the rise of crisis pregnancy centers in the state. Yeah, that is a big concern. Gosh, there's too many places trying to help women and men, by the way, not kill their babies and either raise them themselves or help some couple that wants to adopt. That's terrible. We got to put a stop to that. So that's what was going on out there. Okay. So in the decisions, there's some things in here that I want to read to you. In his decision for the majority, Justice Clarence Thomas agreed that the FACT Act likely violates the First Amendment. The law, quote, imposes a government-scripted, speaker-based disclosure requirement that is wholly disconnected from the state's informed informational interest, he wrote, because the law selectively regulated only certain kinds of facilities. Thomas said it ran the risk of only limiting the speech of those who disagree with the state's views on abortion. In a scathing concurring opinion, Justice Anthony Kennedy, yes, you heard that right, a scathing concurring opinion out of Justice Anthony Kennedy, who is almost always the swing vote, went a step further, arguing that California specifically targeted pro-life centers. This law, quote, this law is a paradigmic example of the serious threat presented when government seeks to impose its own message in the place of individual speech, thought, and expression. Can you say wedding cake? Kennedy wrote, he didn't say that, I said that. Kennedy wrote, joined by Chief Justice John Roberts and Justice Samuel Alito and Neil Gorsuch, the California legislature had noted that the FACT Act was part of its legacy of forward thinking, Kennedy wrote. He strongly disagreed, quote, it is forward thinking to begin by reading the First Amendment as ratified in 1791. Good job. To understand the history of authoritarian government as the founders then knew it. That's called context. To confirm that just that history since then shows how relentless authoritarian regimes are in their attempt to stifle free speech. This is what he's saying about California, by the way. And to carry those lessons onward as we seek to preserve and teach the necessity of freedom of speech for the generations to come. Pro-life advocates are celebrating the decision as a major win, both tactically and symbolically. Today is a victory for more than just the dedicated volunteers who staff pregnancy care centers, said Catherine Glenn Foster, the president of Americans United for Life, in a statement. It's also a victory for the thousands of women who go to the centers seeking life-affirming care and support. So that's huge. By the way, are we off the air on Facebook Live? Oh, it broke up and then came back. Okay. Here's what Planned Parenthood had to say. And part of me wants to say, "Who? I don't care what Planned Parenthood has to say. But when the devil speaks, you should probably listen. Okay? You should pay attention. So here's what Planned Parenthood had to say. SCOTUS, that's Supreme Court of the United States, in case you don't know that little acronym. SCOTUS voted 5-4 in favor of fake women's health centers. Nice little play on the fake news thing there. Despite today's ruling, know that we will never stop fighting for everyone's right to have medically accurate information about all of their options. Unless, of course, you're the baby in the womb. Then you don't have that kind of access to information, and we're just going to kill you, says Planned Parenthood, right? They continued, Planned Parenthood said. Let's be clear. Fake women's health centers. So in Planned Parenthood's twisted worldview, by the way, I talked about their Father's Day tweets talking about preserving the family and keeping families together. It's, I'm like, it's kind of hard to keep a family together when you're ripping the baby apart limb by limb. Here's, they went on to say this. Let's be clear. Fake women's health centers. Wow. God help them. Are deceptive and harmful to women. Lying to women. Withholding medical information like you have a constitutional right to kill your baby. And cutting off access to care. Nothing in the SCOTUS decision suggests otherwise. Wow. Wow. Here's another one. Another pro baby killing organization. Five male Supreme Court justices gave crisis pregnancy centers the right to lie to women today. Rather than affirm women's right to control their bodies and their lives, that baby, ma'am, is not their body. Is she a science denier? I think so. The court voted to control women and to set the stage for even more attacks on her reproductive rights. I mean, as usual, there is a significant portion of Steve Noble right now that just wants to, like, have a party. A Planned Parenthood people are going to burn in hell party. Part of me wants to do that and feels justified. The other part of me, the gospel part of me, is like, you know, these people, to be able to enthusiastically support this and enthusiastically not see their hypocrisy and the darkness and futility of their thinking where God has obviously given them over to the futility of these darkened minds. They're just so captive to their sin. They're captive to the world, the flesh, the devil. It's pity and compassion and love should stir inside of me. But that's usually second. First is usually disgust and animosity and hubris. And I'm like, burn in hell, Planned Parenthood. But really? I'm going to approach people's souls like that? God doesn't, and the Word doesn't, so I shouldn't either. Let's switch gears. Let me open up the phones, and if you want to chime in on the Red Hen controversy, that's the restaurant that refused to serve. They actually asked her to leave, Sarah Huckabee Sanders and her family. They said, you know, you're out of here. We don't serve people like you and who you support and who you work for, which kind of reminds me of no shoes, no shirt, no service. Do you think a restaurant should have the right to do that? Until they violate the law as set forth by the United States Supreme Court of who you're discriminating against. But anything short of that, you know, should you be able to say, I don't serve long-haired people here. I don't serve hippies. I don't hear people like you. Get out. I'm not going to serve you. Do you think that's okay? Do you think what the Red Hen restaurant did was okay? Or do you think that was wrong? Do you think they shouldn't have the right to do that? Be very careful how you swing the axe on this one. Because if you're going to, whatever standard you impose on them, you got to think about it having it imposed on you. Do you want to serve anybody? Do you want to reserve the right to not serve some people in your restaurant, your business? Unless you're discriminating based on the law. Don't you have the right to do that? And then on the other hand, let the market decide. And every restaurant called Red Hen anywhere on the East Coast is getting hammered, this one in particular. And then there's Maxine Waters, who's fanning the flames of uncivility, I think, incivility, and division in this country. Right or wrong? 866-34-TRUTH. We'll be right back. Name that tune. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble. It is the Steve Noble Show. Love Isn't Always on Time by Toto. If you don't know that song, I forgive you. Okay, I forgot one other Supreme Court thing that I wanted to talk about. Then I want to talk about the Bake the Cake controversy, which has not really that, but the Red Hen controversy, which is the Red Hen restaurant. And I think Lexington, Virginia, which said to Sarah Huckabee Sanders and her family, get out. We don't want you in here. We're not going to serve you. And what do you think about that? What do you think about that position? And if you owned a restaurant or a coffee shop or whatever, would you – that's not love isn't always on time. Hold the line. You're all over the map. Are you right about that? Callan, my 18-year-old assistant's in there. Hold the line, love isn't always on time. Hold the line's just the name of the song by Toto. It's not love isn't always on time. Wow, I'm getting old. That's a bummer. Okay, so what do you think about that? Do you have a problem with them doing that? And then you got to jump from that, the Red Hen restaurant controversy, over to what Maxine Waters is doing, which is calling for people to kind of ramp up their opposition to all things Trump and go after him. You know, one of the lady that runs Homeland Security, she was run out of a Mexican restaurant. Now, that's just stupid. The day all of the stuff on the southern border explodes, right? Kids and separated families and border security and build the wall, all that mess. And on that day, as the head of the Homeland Security, you're thinking, it's really been a long day. I could use some chips and salsa and guacamole and a big old plate of enchiladas. So I need to get myself to a Mexican restaurant as soon as possible. Now, to me, that's just stupid. That's like optics. What are you thinking? Like Melania's jacket the other day. I don't remember what it said. I don't care. The same, when she's flying down to the southern border to go visit some of these detention centers, and she wears a jacket that says, I don't care. Then her press secretary or whatever says, it doesn't mean anything. And Donald Trump says, actually, she's telling the press to go stick it. And I'm like, the day you're driving down there to have anything on your body that says, I don't care about anything. Those words should not appear anywhere on your person. And by the way, when's the last time Melania Trump wore a $39 anything? So I look at that and go, what, really? This reminds me, I'm off on a tangent. This reminds me, they had a last year at some point, they had a the Wind Talkers were these American Indians that they used in World War II to help convey secret messages by speaking Native American languages, okay, Indian languages. And they brought them into the White House. I think it was in the Oval Office somewhere. And Donald Trump's like giving them an award, right? And here's the optics. Here's where people are just so stupid. And I don't know that you can watch everything all the time, but when you're at that level, you probably should. And they're standing up. Behind the podium is a picture of Andrew Jackson. Now, if you study your history at all, and you have a couple of American Indians that you're talking to and presenting them with an award, and there's a picture of Andrew Jackson behind you, you might as well go, okay, we're going to give the Best Jewish Business Person's Award this year to this guy and to this gal over here. And behind you, you have a picture of Adolf Hitler. Adolf Hitler is to the Jews what Andrew Jackson is to American Indian history. And nobody caught that. I'm like, oh my, really? Is that really? That's a picture of Andrew Jackson behind these American. Wow. That's a problem. Same thing with this. The optics of it were just so stupid. But we're in this hypersensitive, hyperactive media world, and you just can't slip up, man. We're ready to lynch everybody all the time. It's really amazing what's happening in this country and kind of sad, which is why, Christian, you and me can't be part of that problem. We should have, as part of the fruit of the Spirit, a little thing called self-control. Slow to speak, slow to anger, quick to listen. So we need to remember that. Our witness is our most important possession outside of our salvation. So Bake the Cake and the Red Hen Controversy, of course. That's a little article from Ben Shapiro and Maxine Waters. And that's the world we're in now. So I'll get to that in a second. Here's the other big Supreme Court thing. I'm all over the map, so just stick with me. Supreme Court upholds President Trump's travel ban. Wow, another 5-4 decision. Justices say they believe temporary ban is constitutional because there's a lot of leeway for the President of the United States to enforce law. Okay. In a 5-4 decision, the Supreme Court Tuesday upheld President Trump's temporary travel ban affecting several countries recognized as state sponsors of terror. Chief Justice John Roberts wrote the opinion, and it appears both Justice Neil Gorsuch and Justice Anthony Kennedy, once again the swing vote, agreed with the majority, handing Donald Trump's Justice Department a much-needed win on the issue. The court's language was strong, with Roberts noting that the president, quote, lawfully exercised the broad discretion granted to him under Section 1182F to suspend the entry of aliens into the United States, unquote. The court also noted that the president's interest in preserving national security, particularly in light of terrorist concerns, overrides concerns pertaining to the free exercise of religion as codified in the First Amendment's Establishment Clause. Opponents of the ban had tried to make the case that because the ban affected several Muslim countries, the religion itself was targeted. In that case, the court stuck to the traditional strict scrutiny standard, writing that the president must have a compelling reason to override guarantees of religious freedom. And in the case of the travel ban, it is entirely possible that the danger of importing known terrorists or supporters of terror outweigh potential First Amendment concerns. Opponents of the ban had asked the court to apply a more lenient rational basis standard. So that was a big win for Trump. And the president does have, whether you like him or hate him, whether you voted for him or not, the president does have constitutionally a lot of leniency in order to protect the country. And so if you start seeing other countries where there's a high likelihood that you could get some terrorists coming in from there, possibly, then he reserves the right to shut down immigration from those areas. And that's been the history of the country. And it might make you uncomfortable, and I understand that. But it is constitutional. So if you have a problem with it, there's only one thing you can do, besides get over it, is you can try to amend the Constitution. We do have a method by which you can do that. It's not easy, and it's not easy for a reason, because our founding fathers knew that we were fickle people. Okay, the Red Hen Controversy and Maxine Waters. What do you think about this? What do you think about the restaurant kicking her out? Do they have a right to do it? I know that it might bug you. You might disagree with it because you support Donald Trump or whatever. But do you think that they did something wrong? Would you want that right yourself to refuse service to people unless you're discriminating based on things that are protected under the law? But should a restaurant or any business have a right to refuse customers? 866-34-TRUTH is our number. 866-348-7884. 866-348-7884 or 866-34-TRUTH. What do you think about the restaurant kicking out Sarah Huckabee Sanders? And I don't know if it was her family or coworkers were there. And then Maxine Waters kind of doubling down on that. But as an elected representative in the country, this is where it gets a little more difficult because of this, her position as an elected official and a member of Congress. And they have certain rules that they're supposed to operate under. So in the case of the restaurant, I'm like, when I first heard it, I was like, oh, Well, that's kind of obnoxious. But whether it's obnoxious or not, do they have the right to refuse service? Well, to a lot of people, they do. That's like the old sign, if you're old enough to remember this, no shoes, no shirt, no service. You can't come in here if you don't have shoes on. You can't come in here if you don't have a shirt on. We're not going to serve you. You're not allowed. If you own a business, you should have a right to serve who you want to serve. Unless, of course, you're discriminating based on things that the law has established you shouldn't do. But then Maxine Waters kind of doubled down on this. And if you want to chime in on what she's been doing and what she's been saying, that's fine. I'd love to give you a little bit of airtime today on the show. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884 if you want to chime in on the restaurant and or Maxine Waters. This is from an article that Dr. Michael Brown wrote, who's a great Christian brother. He's a friend, radio host, got a great ministry. He's quoting her. I have no sympathy for these people that are in this administration who know it's wrong for what they're doing on so many fronts. I want to tell you, she added, these members of his cabinet who remain and try to defend him, they won't be able to go to a restaurant. They won't be able to stop at a gas station. They're not going to be able to shop at a department store. The people are going to turn on them. They're going to protest. They're absolutely going to harass them until they decide that they're going to tell the president, no, I can't hang with you. This is wrong. This is unconscionable. We can't keep doing this to the children, referring to the children of illegal immigrants being detained at the border, which I laugh at that whenever I hear a liberal Democrat say that. Protecting the children, unless, of course, they happen to be in their mother's womb, then it's, hey, we'll pay for that. Pay for what, Steve? Pay for killing the baby. By the way, especially for somebody like Maxine Waters supporting abortion, where most of the time, it's a third of the time, 33% of the time, it's a black woman hiring a white man to kill her black baby. Think about that. Representative Waters, are you sure you want this kind of America? This is Dr. Brown writing. Are you sure you want this new civil war, or should I say new war on civility? I understand the moral outrage against President Trump. He's an incredibly divisive leader, and he has quite an unsavory past. I get it. I personally don't like his name-calling, as clever and effective as it is, and I understand how offensive his personality can be, and I recognize that some of his policies are controversial. But what Representative Waters is calling for, at the very least celebrating, is absolutely intolerable. It's destructive, it's ugly, and it's un-American. So this is what Dr. Michael Brown was saying as he's kind of going down this road about Representative Waters. So I'm going to jump over real quick, and if you want to chime in on the restaurant thing with Sarah Huckabee Sanders on Maxine Waters and what she's saying, 866-34-TRUTH is the number. Let's jump over to Steve calling in from High Point, North Carolina. Steve, you're on with Steve. Go right ahead.
Hey, Steve. I enjoy your show, bud.
Thanks, man.
Listen, I follow this stuff religiously. I'm a business owner, have been for 41 years, and I follow Fox News, Hannity, all the guys at the events and like that, and listen to what's being said on both sides, because you're not going to get both sides on the basic radio.
Yeah, it's difficult. Hey, Steve, can I hold you through the break? I'm sorry. I'm up against the break. I got to get to that.
Sure.
All right, I'm going to put you on hold, Steve. When we come back, we'll talk to some more. I'll talk to Steve some more. As a business owner, what does he think about what's going on with that restaurant and or Maxine Waters? If you want to chime in, 866-34-TRUTH. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, The Steve Noble Show. Great to be with you again today. The website, well, the same. TheSteveNobleShow.com. You can also find us on Facebook under The Steve Noble Show and like the page, and then you can join us. We do Facebook Live most days of the week. Sometimes when I'm on the road, like tomorrow, it's a little iffy, but when I'm in town, which is most of the time, we do Facebook Live right here in the studio, and we have kind of a conversation within a conversation. Like yesterday, we had Jackie Green, whose husband happens to be Steve Green, Hobby Lobby Museum of the Bible, and their daughter Lauren, who wrote a great book, Only One Life, which is about legacy and focused on 36 incredible women from history and the Bible. And we had a separate conversation with them on the commercial breaks. And then we had the radio show. So I kind of hit the pause on the radio conversation and then jump over and have a sidebar conversation on Facebook Live. So some of you listen to the show later in the evening. It's delayed. And if that's the case, we're always live 4 to 5 p.m. Eastern time. So you can always be with us regardless of where you live or you listen on the radio. You can be with us live right here in the studio. And also, by the way, I mentioned this earlier at thestevenobleshow.com. We do have a store there. We have a way to donate. I'm going to talk more about that because we have some matching grant stuff coming up, which helps support the show. And we're hoping to expand to even more markets sometime in September. And we'll need your help with that. But at the store, you'll find information about Foundations of Freedom. That's the Constitution and Civics course I've been teaching for the last 6 years, and we finally put all that online. So whether you're a student or have students or you just want to go down that road, because most of us have really weak civic education and understanding of the Constitution, that's available as well. And again, all the dollars that come in for Foundations of Freedom go to support the radio ministry. So that's what we're all about, is trying to make an impact on this country for the cause of Christ with truth and grace and compassion and as much patience as I can muster. And let me jump back to Steve, who's calling in from High Point in North Carolina. Steve, I'm sorry, I grabbed you. I hit a commercial break. We're talking about, you're a business owner. We're talking about the Red Hen controversy where Sarah Huckabee Sanders was basically thrown out of a restaurant. I'm sorry, I had to interrupt you there. So just restart, Steve, and tell us what you wanted to share.
Oh, no problem. I've been a business owner for 41 years. I started my company in 1977. And I've been through several administrations, and more good, more bad than good, actually, as far as business people in this country goes. But at the same time, we're a small company, so it's not like a huge corporation. We're a small corporation. But the bottom line is, I believe that in this country, we should have the right to refuse service to anyone. Now, that being said, I believe the standard should be the same on both sides. I believe, now, in my business, I don't care if you're black, white, green, gay. It doesn't matter to me. When you come in, I'm here to sell a product. I'm not here to preach to you. So when I sell my product or when I do my service, I don't care what your background is. That's between you and God. I've been saved and sanctified for many years, and that's not just being a Christian. There's a difference, and you know that. But here's the thing. If they have the right to ask me to leave because I'm a Trump supporter or because I'm a Christian, I should have the right to ask you to leave because you're homosexual or for any other reason. We're living in such a double standard nation now. When the right calls for right and the left calls for wrong, or what we consider as moral people wrong, they get their voice heard. If we say our voice, then we're penalized, either run out of business or what have you. So it's really a bad situation, and what Maxine Waters is doing is getting very dangerous. I mean, there's going to look what happened to Steve Scalise. Look what happened to Pam Bondi last night. This is not good, and these liberals that are calling for it to be shut down are calling for a war that they don't want, because there's a whole lot more rednecks out here like myself that'll stand for right than they are that'll stand for wrong.
Now, let me ask you this question, Steve, and I'm asking this with respect, and I'm not trying to stir up a fight just to stir up a fight. Do you think that Donald Trump's approach to politics in general, because I think he's definitely a bully, calling names, the stuff he does, you know, he's always trying to manipulate and push people around. That's not my brand. I don't like that he does that. But do you think that he's kind of contributed to this environment? Because it's like, to me, they're all starting to play by the same rule book, which is we're just going to hammer each other into the ground in order to win.
Well, no, I don't. And I'll tell you why. When Obama was in office, Obama did what Obama wanted to do no matter what. He did anything he wanted to do. He signed anything he wanted to sign. And he would push the issue because, see, even on the right, we have two different Republican parties. We have a conservative and we have a semi-conservative.
Right, that's
so
for sure.
Semi-conservatives are really wanting to walk the fence, not knowing who to please. And, you know, when Donald Trump started running for, I've known of Donald Trump all my life, you know, he's been a businessman.
Sure.
The thing that I like about him and the thing that got him elected is, there's two or three different things. Number one, he can't be bought. That irritates the fire out of the left. He cannot be bought.
That irritates the fire out of people on the right, too, and the establishment itself.
Yes, it does.
Special
it does.
Interests,
it does.
Yada, yada.
That's what I'm saying. You've got that conservative, and you've got that light conservative, or that medium conservative, and he can't be bought. Secondly, he calls it like it is. If it's black, he calls it black. If it's white, he calls it white. And I don't mean that as a racial slur.
Sure. No, I get it.
In general. So he calls it like it is. He stands up for what we were founded on, religious freedom, the right to, you know, if you want to stand by the NRA, which I do, the right to bear arms, the Second Amendment, the First Amendment. But here's what we're running into as a conservative or a Christian conservative, is we are being limited on our First Amendment right. You know, when Trump's working on this Johnson Amendment, I think he's already got the Johnson Amendment signed, which is great, which gives us, you know, the pre.
Yeah, they made a statement about it. They haven't rescinded it in terms of the law yet.
Okay. All right. Well, I think that should be rescinded.
Yeah.
We should have the right to say what we want to say, you know. And see, I don't have a problem with any of these people saying what they want to say. That's the First Amendment.
Right.
But I think it ought to be equal on both sides. Now, do I think we ought to be hash calling and throwing stuff at each other? No, that's not a civil America. But we cannot have a simple conversation with anyone on the left and get a simple answer. Many times, you know, these people have been asked, give me a yes or no answer. Well, I can't do that, you know, or I won't do that. Or, you know, they will not give a simple or no yes or no answer. And here's what my wife and I talk about a lot. The Bible says near the end times that people will be turned over to a reprobate mind. And I believe that these people actually believe what they're saying.
Look at what I said when I was sharing the Planned Parenthood tweets and what they said today based on the Supreme Court case. And that's what happens. God turns them over, and them could be anybody. That could be the right or the left, black, white, educated, uneducated, rich or poor. Turns them over to a debased mind. They replace the truth of God with idols, and they start worshiping the created things as opposed to creator. And so we see that all over the culture where people can literally, I mean, enthusiastically come up with a case that they think makes perfect sense for baby butchery, and they just can't see the light because they're enslaved by their sin, and they simply do not have the ability to see the truth.
You're exactly right.
They are sad days.
I'm not saying the Republicans are right and the Democrats are wrong. I'm saying that the Congress as a whole has a major problem. You know, I mean, even if you read the Bible, the Bible talks about the right and left. You know, and I won't get into all that right now, but I'm not saying politically.
It's not talking about politically, right.
You know, the right and the left. So kind of ironic that conservatives are falling on the right and liberals are falling on the left. But irregardless, what I'm saying is that, you know, there's several people, there's several so-called Republicans that I'd kick out in a heartbeat. And I would start with the Attorney General.
Yeah, there's not. That's just ridiculous. No, I hear you, Stephen. I got to let you go just for the sake of time. But thanks for calling in today, and thanks for listening, and thanks for sharing.
Yeah, man. I enjoyed it.
All right, thanks so much. And one reminder, and listen, I oftentimes want to go into what I would call Sean Hannity mode and just get into it. Yeah, but I realize that there is, because I'm on Christian radio, and I'm just taking you behind the curtain here, right? I'm setting aside the issue for a second. And Christian radio, statistics show that somewhere between 25 to 35% of Christian radio listeners are unchurched. So think about that for a second. If a third of the audience, a third of you, are unchurched, then how I handle these issues and how I approach politics can have a profound impact on whether they move closer to a gospel conversation or they push further away. So I tend to couch my reactions now. Not all of them. And sometimes when it's really, really clear, I'm gonna risk divisiveness over certain issues. And I'll be bombastic about it. But there's other things when it comes to the right versus the left, Republicans versus Democrats, where I walk a little more gently now on certain issues because I would rather maintain my relationship in order to get to the gospel than to burn the bridge where I can't get the gospel across. So that's where I get really careful when we start talking about all liberals are this and all Republicans are that. Listen, you've heard me say this a million times if you've heard this show for a while, that I don't know how a biblical Christian can ever vote for a candidate that's a supporter of abortion. I just don't get it. That's oil and water to me. I think it's unconscionable. I don't think it's defensible. And I talk about that. But can you have a Christian, a born-again Christian, that supports or is a Democrat? Sure you can. Because I can turn around and go, okay, well, how much sin in your life is going to disqualify your, or how many bad positions that you take? Maybe that you don't even speak. Maybe it's just in your head. Maybe it's in your heart. Where none of us can see it, but God can see it. Where are you going to draw that line? Because now we're going to start turning into Pharisees, right? And you're going to have to keep all these different laws. Otherwise, you can't possibly be a Christian. And you got to be really careful with that. Our job, my job in this country, I am a born-again Christian who happens to live by God's providence, and I would say grace, in the United States of America. My ultimate allegiance is to Him. That's where I pledge my allegiance. I love my country. I'm a patriot. But more than anything, we are to have a prophetic witness into the culture, which means the right and the left. So I don't take universally the right side. I never, almost never, take the left side. I try to take Jesus' side and then apply it wherever it falls. You let the chips fall where they may. And usually it'll cut across both sides because both sides are full of fallen human beings for the most part. Anyway, just a little gospel revelry there at the end of the show. This is Steve Noble. It is the Steve Noble Show, thestevenobleshow.com. Thanks so much for being here, and God willing, I'll talk to you again real soon.